Uno mas.
Can you guys stop swearing? I have children over here. Next time you swear, I'm gonna call the cops.
No, no, George didn't come out of my photo this week. That wasn't George.
Wait, who didn't do what now?
Who knows?
I posted a picture on Facebook, and George commented on it.
So, really?
You know. Yeah.
That guy's still alive, huh?
Well, yeah, I was surprised too. I was like, what?
I don't know, man.
How
he blocked
he
me.
Communicate.
He blocked me, so I don't know. After the last thing he commented on of yours.
after the oh, I was never in that band.
Yeah.
Show.
I don't know, man. George be tripping like Titus O'Neil. Yeah, I had to make some cheesy reference to that.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Oh yeah, of course. I've told a couple of people I missed it when it first happened, like when he first tripped, and then I'm like, oh shit, they're never gonna show that again. And then it's like, here's 6 replays. Holy shit, that was the best thing ever.
Yeah, you're pretty wrong, man.
I guess I was.
Well, and even he himself is totally rolling with it, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah, because you know Vince loves the comedy act. Let's make you look like a complete idiot, and you're the goofball now. So you're gonna fumble every time you're on camera. Say hi, Jeremy.
Hi, guys.
Titus might as well go with it, because I mean, like, what else has he done in the last fucking 10 years he's been employed? Exactly. He was a SEAL, and that's about it.
I think it's hilarious that Stephanie McMahon tweeted yesterday, "I'm proud to join Titus O'Neil and the millions around the world for Pay It Forward Day." And then the tweet ends with hashtag Stand for Kindness, and just half the comments are just animated gifs of Titus tripping. One is including one back when he was in the original incarnation of NXT.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure he tripped, or did he just think he was in a baseball game and he's trying to steal home plate?
Nah, I was looking for Hornswoggle. Me and Joe figured it out.
Apparently,
I didn't even know Hornswoggle was in that match, and I found out. And I started watching it later. And I'm like, oh, I was really actually spot on.
And again, he was never officially eliminated.
Yeah, so there you go. There's a bunch of memes where they have, like, Kane being pulled through the ring, and it's fucking Titus. I don't know if you've seen those, but I've seen a whole bunch of different versions of that. But yeah, dude, he should just milk it for all it's worth, man. He's lucky to get any TV time. If you look at what he's done, it's just not much, so
I mean,
fuck it.
The slip and slide endorsement he can get.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw someone get the slip and slide box up. They changed all the graphics on it and everything.
Do they still make
slide?
Oh, yeah, they still make slide. All you need is a piece of fucking plastic and a garden hose, but at the end of the day, you can buy it. You know? But yeah, they make that shit for sure.
Yeah, that'll be on WWE Shop.
They do this thing called, I don't know, they probably do it in towns in your neck of the woods too. It's like slide the street and shit like that, and they set up massive ones like on urban city centers. On like super long ass streets, and people go do it in the summer up here. It's like a big deal. Something like that. I don't remember the exact name, but the concept is essentially super massive adult slip and slide.
I don't think they could do it on our streets. They'd melt.
God, like, yeah, fair enough.
Upon contact, they would melt.
Yeah.
Fused to the pavement.
That's a good point. That's probably we get maybe. A few days here and there that are going to be 30, but realistically, like 25 is kind of average for us. You guys get like shoe soles of the shoe melting type of shit.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I looked out my window today and there was fucking snow on the ground.
Oh, you moved? Are you down the
street? I must be in Canada with you, G.
We just had a warm, actual, really warm day since I would say October maybe. It was pretty fucking nice.
And Coaster, you live in central New York. We've seen snow. We've seen snow on Mother's Day. Quit your bitching.
It's my right as an American.
Like we don't have any. It didn't stick here. It's just wet snow here.
That isn't even snow. That's like sleet.
Yeah.
That's what you want, though. That means you're almost done.
Hopefully. Mm-hmm. We thought we were done when it was 60 degrees the other day.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, whatever. Fuck snow.
Like, hey, it's 60 today. It's going to be in the 70s next week. But this weekend, it's going to fucking snow.
Beauty.
Welcome to Western and Central New York.
So I guess you could say your urban streets are basically still slip and slide anyway.
Usually, yeah.
This morning, when I went to go shopping at Wegmans, it was all looked like a big slip and slide.
And I got off the bus one morning, this a couple of years ago, and just like the entire like area where I wait for my next bus was just ice. So like people were getting off the next bus and they were like, slipping on the ice, falling, you know, like his pretty girl fell like right in front of me. I, you know, posted on Facebook, man, pretty girls are just falling at my feet this morning.
try actually having to go out after a freezing rain and try to walk the street and try to go house to house doing that. That's not fun.
I'm sure.
Got to break out the cleats. Or just fucking slap on some skates.
Which you I have to drop.
Cross check your way into the backyard.
Cross check somebody in the face. You get a one game suspension. You don't have to go to work the next day. Right, Evander Kane?
He got off easy compared to some of the other guys this year.
I know he has.
Single game. They didn't need a Bostonite anyway. It all worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, not much else to say about that. These guys don't give a shit about hockey, man.
Right. G and I are like, there's game on after this podcast, isn't there?
Yeah.
I was chatting with G last night, and I was watching NBA basketball. So
I had a bit of that on. I got the two TVs set up.
Yeah, I went to the bar after I saw Infinity War last night, and I'm not gonna spoil it, but you know, I had a couple of drinks. To those that actually died in the movie.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss Batman.
I'm not gonna miss Aquaman.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
But yeah, then they had the playoffs. They had the NBA playoffs on. I saw. I think Boston was it. Boston win last night in the beginning of the Golden State game. So, you know, I watched that last night. Then my cousin tried to get me to go to Dave and Buster's, and I'm like, I'm too tired.
I was just talking to somebody about Dave and Buster's the other day. Like, hey, we should go hang out at Dave and Buster's. I've been there once. I was miserable.
That bad. I like it. I've been there. I've had a good time there.
To be fair, I don't think it had anything to do with the place. It had to do with the company. So
yeah, that was where I was gonna go there. But you know, I've gone on dates there, and you know, there's a chance if I'd have went there last night, I could have bumped into one of those people I met on a date with there. So,
right, right. No, the one time I was there, I was with my ex. We were fighting like a lot at that time, and she took me there for my birthday, and I was just fucking miserable. I wanted to go home. I wasn't playing any games. I was sitting there watching the Sabres, and they won that night, so that was a plus, I guess. But it was just like, man, this really fucking sucks. So like, I think I'd like to go there at some point where I'm, you know, not with somebody who makes me miserable.
Yeah, ex is making it. X is making you miserable on your birthday. Man, I haven't experienced that or nothing.
Yeah.
My ex 1 year fucking, and I shit you not, okay? She avoided me all day, okay? She went to work. She avoided, then got out early, and then avoided me the whole day. Mostly because of the fact she had nothing for me that day. None of my presents were there. She told me called me spoiled, and then came home when she finally decided to show up home an hour before I had to work that night. Came home an hour before I had to go to work that night and goes, "Well, all your presents aren't going to be here till tomorrow." I go, "Well, my birthday isn't tomorrow." Day. And then like, "Oh, let's go do something." And I'm like, "I have to go to work in an hour." And y'all wonder why we're not together anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why every year I throw my own birthday party now.
Yay!
My last two are a bottle of fucking Jameson Caskmates, and that's it. I sit and watch TV or I play PlayStation. I celebrate it with my favorite person, with my most favorite person, me.
Man, you got to come up to Buffalo for one of my Mohawk shows on our birthday weekend. party with me and all of my local rock star friends.
You're gonna throw me in the Think So Joe pit like you were gonna do 10 years ago. Or is it Think So Brain? I don't know. Remember you were gonna put me up for auction or some shit like that.
I don't remember this, but that sounds like something I would do. At least 10 years ago, it sounds like something I would have done. man, we have fun. We do. I threw Mohawk Place last year, and we're doing Mohawk Place in Buffalo again this year. And I don't have any bands booked yet, but it's gonna be a good time. But anyway, I digress. Yeah. I just now opened the show notes. I knew I was forgetting something. Not that it's important, I just need it for the news later.
That's not much news.
Yeah, there wasn't much last week either. It was just like, okay, well, let me read this stuff I just put in here, and then we'll get the hell out of here. Yay!
Yeah, I have no idea what happened. I just quickly skimmed through it. I had to do a bunch of gardening stuff, so I didn't really give a fuck this morning. And saw a couple things about the, what was that thing, that show on Friday they did?
Greatest Royal Rumble. Bestest, greatest,
yeah,
destroyer,
yeah,
rumble
then,
ever.
There's some other stuff. Nothing major though. Let's get a copy pasted in there though. But
did you get to see your favorite wrestler return?
No.
Sorry.
Yeah, no.
I don't even know who that would be anymore.
Oh yeah, we saw him.
That's what I'm
saying. Oh, you used the word favorite in there. Yeah. That's,
yeah.
I don't know. I actually kind of find myself getting bored with that Rumble. It's too long. I think my attention span started to wane, but I enjoyed what I watched. I skimmed through a bit. There's a lot of matches I didn't give a shit about either. But I liked the ladder match and I liked the Rumble match for what I was able to pay attention to.
Like I worked the night before, and then I my coworker was late, so I ended up missing my bus. And then I'm like, oh, I got a couple of more minutes before I got to get out there for the next bus. And then I missed the next bus, and my girlfriend was like, oh, my mom's coming to get me, so she'll just come and get you and bring you home when she comes to get me. Like, okay, cool. So I ended up standing around work till like 9:30. By the time I got home, it was 10. The show started at 12, so I was exhausted. So I ended up sleeping through the entire show except for Jericho's promo and the entire Rumble match. So the Rumble match, I thought it was fine. I like the Royal Rumble. That's one of my favorite pay-per-views of the year. So to make it bigger and, have that whole story of, look at Daniel Bryan and how much shit he's going through, and he's still in this fucking match.
Oh my God, his chest.
Oh, hamburger meat, man. Like, he looked, just, wow.
And Bobby Lashley almost killed Big Cass. That was a takeaway from that.
Chris Jericho did the like Chris Jericho made Mojo Rawley famous for all of 5 seconds before Titus O'Neil stole his thunder.
Who was the sumo guy again?
I don't know.
Yeah, nobody fucking knows.
Somebody
was I was I supposed
rock.
To know who he was or did
no.
I remember? And then there was some dude they had at the training bit that they brought in. I don't remember his name either.
Yeah, he was a big guy. That's all I
know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they put him in there to just let him play the giant for a moment or two, I'm assuming, but... Mm-hmm. Was there any other surprises in that? Hornswoggle? Too many things going on.
I mean, Rey Mysterio, but we knew that.
Yeah. Jericho, we knew. At least to be on the show.
By the time we got to the end of the match, I forgot Jericho was going to be in it. And I'm just like, oh, number 50's got to be Sami Zayn.
No.
And then, yeah, no, and they took him off for reasons, I understand. So, you know.
Which I had completely forgotten about. I'm like, where the fuck is he? After the fact, I realized, I'm like, oh yeah, the whole Syria thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Callie was a surprise, I guess. Although for some reason, I feel like I heard he was going to be in it. Oh, he was in the fucking poster. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about Callie is how quickly he actually got to the ring. I figured it was going to take at least 5 minutes.
Hiroki Sumi was the sumo wrestler. Apparently he's friends with Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay. And I fell some spots. Yeah, that was a show. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was the world's greatest house show.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've done a few of these now. They did one in Japan a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Whatever. I mean, if you got the time in the week and you really want to watch that much fucking wrestling, that's kind of the way I went into it. I'm like, fuck. I don't really need to see most of these matches. Well, I never need to see any of them, actually, but... I had shit to do. Saturday's midday off, so I kind of put it on while I was watching hockey and shit was happening on the side. Probably the best way to watch wrestling.
Yeah, I'm sure you can catch a little bit of it on Botchamania.
Yeah, yeah. And Jinder, I guess, did some botch in his match. I didn't watch the match.
Yeah, Jeff did a Whisper in the Wind, completely whiffed it, and like 2 seconds after Jeff hit the mat, Jinder just flopped over.
Okay.
And Corey was trying to sell it as like, oh, maybe he's playing mind games, he's toying with him. Yeah, you're not going to cover that up.
Although, didn't the announce team just completely lose it by the end? I did not watch this, and I'd heard that the announcers were basically punch drunk tired by the end of it and were just throwing out all kinds of random shit. Yeah. Is that how it happened? Because I kind of want to see that, if nothing else.
Yeah, the announcers were just, you know, I don't know what the hell was wrong with them, but yeah, they must have been tired. I don't know. But like, what was it, like Fandango's music hit, and Michael Cole's like, it's Fandango, and Corey Graves is like, how the fuck do you know that? He's not even out here yet. And he's like, his name's on the big fucking screen right in front of us. And he has different music from Tyler Breeze, right? Yeah, just little shit like that was just all over this, like all over the Rumble match, like just...
I've come to realize that Michael Cole is the biggest fan of Elias, apparently.
Yeah.
And he was losing his shit over that.
Yeah, that's kind of been they've been portraying that on TV for a little while now. As long as it don't lead to a Michael Cole heel turn and him having a, you know, WrestleMania match with Corey Graves or something, I don't know. Because that's how that feud with Jerry Lawler started, is Michael Cole's obsession with The Miz.
Well, no, I doubt that.
There's got to be a new WrestleMania streak, and who better than Michael Cole?
Yeah, right.
I don't think we're going to see that type of shit with him anytime soon.
Nah, I hope not.
Maybe like later in the year, I guess. Right now, they got all those shows have a bunch of new people. Since that shakeup, you guys probably talked about that last week.
Oh, yeah. We all determined what shows we were all on now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I no-showed mine, so. I had to play softball with Sid Vicious, but I was busy. there's like a lot of kerfuffle about that. I thought this week they let a little bit of the reveal what they're going to attempt with some of these characters. But there's so many fucking people. Got called up, got ridiculous. Kind of interested to see what they do with Chad Gable, to be honest with you. He's like the one guy I have the least faith that they're going to do right, but probably the most potential if they do something right, period. They got him and Brian on opposite shows. They basically had the same body type and technical type of thing going. So kind of hope they let him do something. But
Chad Gable was the next entrant in the Royal Rumble after Fandango, and Michael Cole is like, see, Corey, it says right there on the screen, Chad Gable. The commentary was ridiculous. Yeah, I don't recall shit about Raw or SmackDown this week. That was so long ago now.
How long was that thing on Friday?
5 hours.
Yeah, 5 hours.
Wow. Well, no wonder those guys are like saying stuff like that, dude. I couldn't. No break. They didn't get in. Was it just those two and they didn't get any breaks?
No, isn't there like four of them?
No, it was a three-man commentary. And there was a break at one point, and I woke up for that. Because I woke up and they had the panel. It was like Byron Saxton, Booker T, Jerry Lawler, JR?
Yeah.
I don't know, something like
Booker that. Booker replaced fucking Coachman or whatever.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, I woke up and I saw that intermission, and that's where they had the Chris Jericho promo.
Yeah.
And then I fell back asleep, like, during the entrances for the next match. But, yeah, there was definitely a break, but, yeah, I mean, that's a long time to be sitting there talking about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after we get through with this hour, I have to go in the booth and talk about wrestling for another hour. And that's, like, just sounds draining to me. But at least I don't have to talk like this. I made a mistake the other day. Because our troll was like, oh, you know, it's the Van Venom show. And I said, no, I'm pretty sure that guy's dead. And then I got a script. And I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. I gotta do this stupid voice. And then it wasn't even about wrestling, so it didn't even make sense for me to be that character. Because, like, I did it as, like, you know, this is my heel character because I have, you know, I have other channels that are better than this one that I do my normal voice on, so let's make this guy a little different because he's given me a different character, and now he's giving me shit about, like, some fucking Pixar movie. I'm Van Venom, and we're going to talk about Coco.
Isn't The Rock in that shit, or no?
I have no idea.
That's the Polynesian one, right?
No, that's Moana.
Oh, same shit. I don't know.
Wait,
what the fuck's Moana Coco, man? Then?
I don't know what Coco is. Some fucking movie.
You just talked about it.
Did you think I pay attention to the things I read? I had to get reminded that designer vaginas are a thing that I had to read about a couple of weeks ago. You laugh, it's true. We're sitting here doing JT was laughing. We're sitting here doing the show on Wednesday, and my girlfriend goes, oh yeah, weren't you reading about designer vaginas? And I'm like, was I? Like, yeah, that sounds like something one of my clients would send me.
That totally has to be the name of my next band.
I think that was the joke, was that would be a great band name.
It totally would.
My band, Designer Vaginas, will be playing Station 58 in Syracuse, New York on Friday.
Yeah, that's that shit I get paid to talk about. Anyway. You know what else I get paid to talk about? I get paid to talk about the Pro Wrestling Top 5. It's on www.youtube.com/theprowrestlingtop5. Weekly top fives of all things pro wrestling. Sean Valentino is the columnist from Pro Wrestling Torch. Rich Twilling is the former senior editor from ProWrestling.net, and they are the hosts of Pro Wrestling Top 5. Check that out on YouTube. Subscribe and like for top fives of all things pro wrestling. I remembered to do the ad this week.
Well, you remembered last week at the end of the show.
At the end of the show. It's a mid-show ad. But yeah, check out the Pro Wrestling Top 5.
Designer Vagina sent you.
Yeah, I tell him Designer Vagina sent you. Yeah. See, it's a good thing we started talking about things I got paid to talk about. Otherwise, I forgot till the end of the show again. Yeah, no, I don't remember shit from Raw or SmackDown. I remember Carl Anderson getting kicked in the face twice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That.
All right, because they had the... Well, it was taking long for...
Yeah, he jumped in... No, he jumped in the way for AJ Styles.
Oh, Styles, right, okay.
Yeah, because those guys are on SmackDown now.
So the movement thing. Yeah, I guess he was doing some kind of, like, Mafia-style hit. That was kind of the way they were presenting it, what I hear. I heard his new theme song. I love the new theme song remix with the vocals in there. I think that's dope, but I don't think I even made it through SmackDown, to be honest with you. I remember watching the beginning, and then hockey was on, and then... I mean, I theoretically watched the rest of it on the second TV there, but I'm with you. I don't recall.
Well, it wasn't Tuesday was game 7, wasn't it? That was Wednesday. It was game 7 with Toronto.
Yeah, it was regardless of what it was, I wasn't watching like SmackDown the day of live or anything. I watched that shit on delay, but time in the day, right? So
yeah,
it's like, well, if I'm going to even attempt to watch this, it's going to have to play second fiddle to hockey. That's more or less my approach with Raw and SmackDown, typically.
No, they actually explained Shinsuke Nakamura's new theme music as he had it written specifically so the fans couldn't sing along.
Right, which makes sense because he's supposed to be a heel.
Right.
And he punches guys in the dick. That's his thing now. So there's a lot of good memes for that, too. All the dick punching memes. I'm sure you've seen plenty of those. that's cool. I think the bit that I recall seeing, I enjoyed.
Yeah,
at least Nakamura, but the rest of the show I don't recall either. I'm sure not. It was all building up towards this event on Friday anyway. So.
Yeah.
But they do have a pay per view like fucking next weekend, I think too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called hockey.
Oh, it's called hockey too. Yeah, it's for sure. And Fear of the Walking Dead at the same time. So, be lucky if I stream that shit on like my phone while I'm watching two other things. I'm debating whether I want to cancel my network subscription and pay another month by accident. I like just being able to DVR that, but I have a feeling it's probably not going to even worth my time. Yeah, fuck the network. I got to get rid of that shit. I pay any money, more money for it. I did watch the Bruno documentary. I enjoyed that. That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You guys see that?
No, not yet.
I've seen bits and pieces of it. My girlfriend had the network on and I happened to walk in like, oh, hey, it's the Bruno thing.
Yeah.
So I saw like the last half of it, but yeah, I enjoyed what I did see.
Definitely one of the things they always seem to do well. And I mean, I know it sounds brutal, but I know most of the time, major sports broadcasters, they had the shit in the can and they just add a few things at the end. When they know someone's at the end of their time, it's just kind of the reality. You know, it's coming.
Sure.
So they want to do a very good job presenting a memoriam to the individual. So But people sometimes get mad, like, why would you do that? I'm like, well, shit, you want it to be good. It's fucking Bruno Sammartino.
I mean, there's been stories out there where, like, where news out, like newspapers have printed obituaries for people who hadn't died yet. Or like CNN or somebody did that, you know, like, but you're absolutely right. That's something that major broadcast outlets do, is they have this shit ready to go.
Yeah. I've heard like journalists talk about it and shit. Like, they had Gordy Howe's, all the companies had Gordy Howe's like ready years before he died.
Oh yeah.
This guy's like, is that getting that old? And you're kind of like, well, it's like taking out a will when you start to realize if you don't get one, a lot of people are like, they hit 40, 50, like, oh, probably should do that.
Yeah.
Motherfucking Grim Reaper's coming. But you know, if I learned anything from Hollywood, is I got an opportunity to be best of three, best of five, best of seven. Get a little battleship going. I can get out of that shit. Excellent. All right. What's the big shtick? What's the selling point for this pay-per-view anyway? Is this like another Roman? Because this is cross-brand now. So.
This is, Roman is wrestling Samoa Joe.
Oh, yeah, it's a Samoa Joe match. Okay, because there's two of them in it.
Exactly.
Poor on shit. Nice.
Wait, there's two Samoa Joes now?
Yeah, it's fucking Roman Reigns' first name's Joe, so.
I've been playing WWE 2K18 for like the past week and just... Like, it's like, oh, you're feuding with Samoa Joe. We're going to team you up with Roman Reigns. So it's like, now I'm Joe, and I'm teaming with Joe against Joe. Like, way too many Joes in this match. Only one of them's not Samoan. Anyway, I digress. AJ and Shinsuke is the SmackDown title match. I know that much. Okay. I honestly don't know the rest of the card.
Yeah,
off the top of my head. So,
is there a big storyline? What is that they're doing that Nia Jax thing still? Right, that's probably one of the matches.
We got Seth Rollins versus The Miz for the Intercontinental title. That makes no sense since one of them was on SmackDown.
Because some of this is the leftover shit from the trade stuff, right?
Right. No, a lot of it is, and I'm wondering. I really, like, I don't understand why with Miz so close to breaking that record, they're keeping him away from the Intercontinental title. I understand putting him on SmackDown, putting him with Daniel Bryan or whatever, but Daniel Bryan's doing the feud with Big Cass. And that match is happening at Backlash.
They're close to a few records being broken. Maybe that's why. Maybe they don't want to have them all kind of happen at the same time.
Sure. But I mean, they're also keeping John Cena far away from the from a world title. So
that's one of them. Yeah, and then like, if they ignore the fact that, like, specific belts, and they're talking about the longest title reign in modern history, Brock Lesnar June 10th or something like that.
Yes,
like,
I saw that.
Days after Punk loses in his next UFC match.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're gonna have. You know they're gonna do that. That's like a given now.
They would have done it with Seth Rollins had Seth Rollins not gotten injured.
Yeah, for sure.
So I mean,
they want to have a good relationship with whoever holds as many records as possible. So Thomas, a business sense, really. Even though I'm sure he's a salty old fuck about it. You know, you can't fault them really for, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of retarded for them too. So like, yeah, well, keep it on the guy we can never go interview and talk to you about shit.
Right.
Oh yeah, that lawsuit we have with him. Oops.
Yeah. No, that I understand. So yeah, no, you're probably right about that. Like, let's not break too many records at once. I understand your point of view there and how that would be a good philosophy for WWE.
My real point of view comes from Square Circle Jerk, and this is submitted by WonderPod Online. It's Karma Forecast. Lesnar will surpass CM Punk's title reign days after Punk loses in UFC a second time. Begin complaining now.
Roman Reigns.
The comments I got, some of them are great. I can't believe this company wants to put the record back on someone they can't even mention on television. It just makes no sense, financial or otherwise. Billionaire who should be a gazillionaire. Shake my head. Why can't they leave the record with someone who hates the company?
So other matches on this upcoming pay-per-view, Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, we mentioned. Nia Jax defends against Alexa Bliss. Carmella defends against Charlotte. Daniel Bryan faces Big Cass, and AJ Styles defends against Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay.
You figure in the next, you figure probably tomorrow or Tuesday we'll get the tag title matches and a U.S. title match out of that too, so.
Was that five matches you listed off there?
Six matches.
They'll fit a, they could fit a couple more in there.
Oh, yeah, no, we'll, yeah, get, the, we'll get the tag titles, the U.S. title, maybe the Cruiserweight title out of this.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds about right, Joe. I think that's a safe expectation. They're pimping those two shows at the same time, so it's kind of hard for them to get all those programs. And those kind of end up being like 1 week match, but they're all old feuds, right? Like the title match would be what, the Hammer Dudes, or are they already on there?
No, they're the tag team champions on SmackDown, so they would probably face. They'll probably face the Usos again, I would imagine. And I with the idea of, like, they couldn't do the logical follow-up of the storyline that they've been presenting on SmackDown in Saudi Arabia because it involved Naomi.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
women are not people, and that's right, over there.
Right. So theoretically, you're going to get, I would imagine, the Usos and the Bludgeon Brothers with Naomi interfering and the Usos taking back the tag titles, or the interference backfiring and Naomi gets hurt, or some shit like that, you know. But something involving Naomi with the Usos against the Bludgeon Brothers is probably what we're going to end up with at Backlash, if I had to, you know, venture a guess.
Yeah, you do, because this is a show about wrestling. So.
Right.
Naomi turns on the Usos, and you have to tune into Total Divas to find out why.
I wouldn't put it past them. Yeah. So that's I have no idea where we go for the Raw tag team titles or the US title, because I guess probably Hardy, Orton, Benjamin triple threat match for the US title would make sense to me. I have no idea, because they've been doing that thing where, you know, Shelton Benjamin's in the ring and here comes his opponent. Oh, no, wait, it's the other guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then Raw tag team titles, I have no idea who would be, like, number one contenders, because the Bar are on SmackDown now. So, who knows? I we'll find out tomorrow, I guess. I did see that the Greatest Royal Rumble was great for all of the members of the Wyatt family.
Mm.
You show them all, and there's a picture of all of them with belts. Bray Wyatt with the Raw tag titles, Bludgeon Brothers with the SmackDown tag titles, and Braun Strowman with that Saudi Arabia belt.
Yeah, does he have to defend that, though?
I don't know. That's another thing. Where the hell does Braun Strowman fit in on this on Backlash? Like, he's one of the most over guys in the company.
Originally, you know, it was, you know, you get this trophy, and then they present, they showed the belt, and Michael Cole called it an award. But at the end of the match, they called him the Greatest Royal Rumble champion. And does he have to defend that in the next Rumble? Or is it going to be like the hardcore title, and it's like 24/7 rules? I would much rather see that.
I would, too. I don't know.
I'm not sure if they're actually going to be doing official Greatest Rumble. I thought I was reading, like, they're going to have different types of pay-per-view variants over there over the next decade. That's the deal that they've made with them. It's, like, I think 10 years long, if I'm remembering correctly. And it's not necessarily going to be a Rumble every time. It'll be, you could have got a Survivor Series type of deal or King of the Ring type of deal.
Well, I was reading that the next event there is probably going to be in November, and I was thinking that it's probably going to be some kind of Survivor Series deal.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. That would make sense to me. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, is this a thing where Braun Strowman won this thing, we're going to mention it once on Monday and never mention it again?
Yeah,
you
probably.
Know, that's, I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Anyways, what's going on in New Japan?
Oh, God. I'm still not recovered from the show that I just finished watching before we came on here. The Wrestling Dontaku Tour is like 15 shows long this year. I've watched all of them. Well, all of the ones that made the network. They didn't put all of them up there, but you know, this has been going on for like 2 weeks, and we're just now getting to the big shows at the end. And at least according to what I've seen so far, I am one of like three people who really liked this show and the main event, but you know, I don't know what everybody else was watching, because what I saw was just amazing from beginning to end, but in a big picture kind of way. So if you're just focusing on individual matches, okay, maybe you not like some of the things that happened, but you know, I don't see how anything in the main event was anything other than brilliant. This show was called Wrestling Hinokuni, and it was the only one that had a different name. Interestingly enough, you know, Hinokuni means Field of Fire, and I don't want to call it a theme exactly, but the big story behind this show was that all the members of Los Ingobernables de Japón were involved in pretty important matches. Two of them were title matches. The other two were singles matches spinning off of a title match on a previous show. So they owned the whole second half of the show. And for this entire tour, the feud has been between LIJ and Suzuki-gun, led by Murder Grandpa Minoru Suzuki. And if you have never really seen how brutal and vicious and horrific that man can be in a wrestling ring, you need to watch some of this stuff, because if you don't fully appreciate that, then your life is incomplete. So the feud has been full-on stable warfare. Everybody has somebody to go after. Suzuki-gun has more people in it, so some of their guys were just essentially squashing other people that had nothing to do with anything. But this entire tour has been Suzuki-gun just kicking the shit out of LIJ every night in the junior heavyweight tag team title matches. They are the current champions, El Desperado and Kanemaru, and they've won every time through treachery and shenanigans. And once upon a time, you'd have thought that was an LIJ thing, but Suzuki-gun are just straight-up villains. There is nothing redeemable about any of them at all. Yeah, they are bad guys to the hilt, and we haven't really had that much of that in New Japan for a while, and they don't just beat people, they destroy whoever they're in the ring with. So we've been seeing that for pretty much two solid weeks, and Bushi and Hiromu Takahashi from LIJ have been screwed out of the junior tag titles at least twice now. Stuff like the ref is about to make the three count and some other member of Suzuki-gun pulls the ref out of the ring. All kinds of stuff. So this was the show where the whole focus was on this faction warfare. Everything else was the first half of the show. And then we start with what happened second half. So first we get what were supposed to be two singles matches. It was Bushi fighting El Desperado. Both of them are guys in masks who basically present as luchadors and wrestle a very lucha kind of style. And yeah, that match was going really well. And then it ends up being essentially, you know, thrown out for DQ because for really no good reason, Kanemaru comes running in and interferes, and the two of them are just, you know, stomping Bushi in half. Well, here comes Hiromu to make the save, and the ref pretty much throws out the Bushi and El Desperado match and immediately begins the Hiromu and Kanemaru match, you know, no entrances, no anything. They just start. And so it's mostly a singles match. But what we see in all of the LIJ versus Suzuki-Gun matches on this particular show is LIJ just gets the ever-loving shit kicked out of them in every possible way for the entire match and manage to pull out a victory at the end anyway. So in Hiromu's case, he basically got tricked into doing something high-flying and crazy off the top turnbuckle, landed flat on his back on the floor. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, you watch it and you hurt and you're just like, oh, God. So he spends the whole rest of the match unable to do his usual stuff because his back just won't let him do it. And he has to fight a different style. And Hiromu ends up finally getting a legit win. And this is important for two reasons. One, it gives LIJ a claim for another shot at the junior tag team titles. Because they've lost to Suzuki-Gun before. Why would they get another shot? Well, they've beaten the champs now. And the second reason is when this tour eventually ends, we, you know, certainly hope it will end at some point, Best of the Super Juniors is coming up, and all of these guys are part of that. So the fact that, you know, this guy has a win over this guy is going to matter, because Best of the Super Juniors is basically like G1 for junior heavyweights. So that's going to be a big deal. The second ended up being the second match was the heavyweight tag team title match. Evil and Sonata are current champions. They were defending against Killer Elite Squad from Suzuki-Gun. That's Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer. Sonata and Evil won the titles at Wrestle Kingdom, but they haven't had a defense yet because Evil got a busted orbital bone and had to go out for surgery, and so they haven't really had much of a title reign, and everybody thought they were going to lose it. I mean, pretty much the consensus was Suzuki-Gun was going to sweep everything, and that's not what happened, because Evil and Sonata retained the heavyweight tag team titles, but again, they were destroyed for the entire match. It was absolutely brutal, and then they have a comeback at the end and they keep the belts, and so now we get to move on with that. The big point that was where everybody's attention was the main event, and that was Minoru Suzuki defending the Intercontinental title against Tetsuya Naito. And if you follow New Japan at all, and I know you guys catch big stuff now and then, but you don't constantly follow it. Naito's been the IC champ. He's been the IC champ 4 times. That was the belt that he was constantly throwing around and, you know, completely destroying in every way. And, you know, he hated it because of what it represented. And, you know, why would he even go for that? And really, he didn't. He was basically provoking Suzuki and pissing off Suzuki to the point where Suzuki demanded a match and kind of threw the title belt at him. And they've had these incredible promos back and forth where, I mean, Suzuki as a promo is just freaking chilling. I mean, this is the stuff of nightmares to have this man describing what he is going to do to murder you. And Naito is just blowing the whole thing off. And he even straight up said, your title's absolutely meaningless. I don't even want it. I do want to see what happens to you and your faction when I take it from you. And so that's how they've got everything presented. Naito has famously bad knees. His knees are always heavily bandaged. He's had, you know, at least one, I think probably two major knee surgeries. And Suzuki's been targeting his knees the entire time. I mean, he's a submissions expert. And this whole main event was just one brutalization after another. I mean, people were posting that that little Simpsons meme of, you know, just stop it, he's already dead. And that was this match. That the entire match was just, oh God, please stop, you killed him already. And so yeah, there was just no way that this was going to end well. But then you had this very short and unexpected stylistically, but the way it happened, it totally worked. You had this Karate Kid-esque comeback, and Naito won the Intercontinental title again. And then in all the post-match celebrations, I mean, he can't even stand up. And he doesn't throw the title around, but, you know, he completely ignores it. He just leaves it there. And so now everybody's going, okay, well, that's totally stupid. If he's got the IC title, that means he's not going to beat Okada for the heavyweight title at Dominion. You know, he's not going to do this, he's not going to do that, you know, all these things. So to kind of close out on this show, I have a theory as to what it might mean that they put that belt back on him. You know, one of it, obviously, is what happens to Suzuki-gun now that the boss doesn't have that title, because Naito straight up pointed out, if you lose your title to me when one of the guys in your group, you know, tap me out and beat me in round one of the New Japan Cup, what does that say about your leadership? And then that's exactly what happened. So now, Zack Sabre Jr. beat Naito barely even trying. Suzuki lost a title to him, and there have been rumors for a while that Zack Sabre Jr., now that he has signed full-time with New Japan and lost most of his other titles in order to do so, that he's eventually going to turn Suzuki-gun into Sabre-gun. We'll see if that actually happens. The other part of it, though, has to do with Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho said he's done with New Japan, and he very well could be. However, we all know we can't believe anything that he says publicly because he is an absolute god of working people. So, it's theoretically possible that he would pick up where he left off, which was feuding with Naito, but he didn't really have a reason to come back and do anything. Because when did this happen? New Year's Dash, right after Naito lost the main event at Wrestle Kingdom. So why would Jericho even care about, you know, coming back and having a match with him? You know how Jericho is considered, you know, the greatest Intercontinental champion? You know, all respect to Honky Tonk Man, but, you know, Jericho had 9 Intercontinental title reigns for a total of 319 days. Naito is now on his 5th Intercontinental Championship reign, and he's already had 259 days. Now that Naito's won the Intercontinental title for a 5th time, if he can hold on to it for 60 days, he'll tie Jericho's record, but he's done it in half the number of title reigns that it took Jericho to do it. What day will they be tied? June the 28th. When is their show in America? July the 7th. I'm just saying it's possible. So something to think about. But yeah, this show was freaking fantastic as far as both big scale and small scale storytelling. And if you don't want to see the whole thing, you know, skip to the second half and start with the LIJ matches and watch it through to the end. You will see absolutely incredible, beautiful stuff. And I don't know what the rest of social media is bitching about. It was freaking awesome.
Well, you know, social media will find something.
Oh yeah.
That Jericho thing is not under contract, right? And he works the social media thing himself, saying they can't afford him, so it's just up in his value when he does show up. I'm sure he's gonna be there. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You're probably onto something. I didn't know about this other stuff you mentioned with the title reigns and the glory and whatnot would actually add a lot of interest to the match. Sounds like a Jericho type of thing to me.
Sure.
We'll see. I mean,
you're at that show. Is that one of the ones you're going to, or is that in Japan?
No, it's the G1 special in San Francisco. Oh. And
yeah,
I'm planning to go. Tickets go on sale Tuesday.
Ooh,
okay.
So we'll see how that goes. But the plan is, yes, to be there.
Yeah, they've really gone all in with the U.S. show. Seems to be like another run every month almost. That's good for them. That means you're essentially becoming like the Grateful Dead style of North American fans. Get you some tie-dye.
Our whole little circle is like, oh, well, okay, just to clarify here, the show that we went to in Long Beach, that was the only thing that was announced. We thought they weren't doing a G1 special anymore because by last year they had announced it way earlier. So we're in Long Beach. We're at Strong Style Evolved. In the middle of the show, they announced the G1 special in San Francisco. And we're like, what? You guys, stop doing this. We are not, we're not rich people. We have jobs. This is not an easy thing. I know most of us, we would not have gone to Strong Style Evolved if we had known they were going to do a G1 special before the G1 started. You know, we would have prioritized that one. So
that's probably part of the reason.
Well, I'm sure that's part of why they did it. But we're just like, okay, now that we know these are things that you guys do, sneaky little bastards.
Yeah.
Then, you know, in the future, we can plan on, okay, well, there's probably going to be something they're not going to tell us. And, you know, they've done this show here in this time frame. They've done this show in here. Plus, they just announced, and I was so mad about this. They announced it after pretty much everything had totally sold out, even on StubHub, but that War of the Worlds tour that Ring of Honor's running, they announced, like, last week, oh, by the way, special announcement, all five members of LIJ are coming now. What? You bastard! And so there's no way that any of us can even go to those because everything was sold out already. So, yeah, they're doing a lot of time in the States, a lot of time.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll go to the first New Japan show that they hold in JT Land.
T-Duck. Great. Cut her off and go, segue to me. Go brightly to completely break everything off a topic. As I watched a drunken Adrian Monk solve the case. I'm just gonna keep it short this week. Nothing too much off topic. Has to kind of actually deal with the WWE Hall of Famer. Basically, I'm addressing the Kanye situation. Look, people hating on Kanye for showing his support for Trump. Basically, I'm gonna say it in this heat. Simple. Keep it. I'm gonna say these simple words. Kanye only cares about Kanye. Mic drop. JT Landover.
Promotional okay. Consideration paid for by the following.
I got nothing this week.
All right. I agree with JT. Nobody gives a fuck what Kanye says.
Well, it's the thing. It's like, you know, like all the people that are like, oh, he's so, you know. Are like they're acting like they're so shocked. Oh, well, I'm done with Kanye. Oh, dude, all he cares about is himself. He don't care about what you think. He don't care about. So what? You know what he want? Because for those who, for like those who live on a rock and don't know what you know. He basically came out as he supports Trump, which you know what as an American he's allowed to do. But you know people you want to you be all up in arms because oh my God da 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 da. Well, you know what. He said years ago that George Bush don't care about black people. Well, you know what? Kanye don't care about anybody. Kanye only cares about Kanye.
Sure. All right. And into our news this week. I'll skip over the usual crap. Bruno Sammartino's cause of death was multiple organ failure due to heart issues, aka old age. Donald Anderson. Go ahead.
No, like when I added the old age. That's basically.
No, but you're not wrong.
That stuff happens when you're old.
You're not wrong. No, you're not wrong. Donald Anderson, the cameraman who was kicked by Titus O'Neil in a stunt gone wrong for an episode of WWE Network's Swerved, has refiled his claims against Titus, real name Thaddeus Bullard, in a Florida court, O'Neil's home state. Anderson holds WWE, Bullard, and Uranus Productions, the third-party production company for the segment, as responsible for the injuries he suffered. WWE undertook the job of selecting specific WWE personalities as targets on which to use the electric shock device. Further, he says WWE put him in an unsafe working environment and had an obligation to protect him from being endangered by O'Neil. The case is once again pending in court.
You said Uranus.
I just enjoyed the fact that this news story was before the Rumble. Dude really is right. The Shockmaster.
Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious.
I don't have a point.
I worked my way backwards through the news. Quickly going through, I'm like, wait, what the fuck? It's like foreshadowing, dude.
Yeah, pretty much. Sami Zayn wasn't welcome at the greatest Royal Rumble ever due to his Syrian background and Syrian relief effort work. WWE issued the following statement, which reads almost as much like a confirmation as a denial it was a problem. WWE is committing to embracing individuals from all backgrounds while respecting local customs and cultural differences around the world.
Money. Huh? Yeah.
Apparently, WWE violated local customs in Saudi Arabia, ironic given their statement above, by promoting the women's division during the Greatest Royal Rumble, even though none of the women's division traveled to Saudi Arabia or were there in person.
Yo, yo, yo. Money.
Yeah.
The trademark WWE filed on global localization is indicative of the plan internally in WWE to open up performance centers in various countries and or regional promotions and use all of them as feeders to the main WWE product.
So there's more coming there.
I guess. Oh, I see. Too good for air, are we? Motherfucker, if it wasn't for air, you'd be dead. I bet you didn't even realize that air is pushing you all around, so stop your blood from boiling. You ungrateful piece of shit. But no, air isn't amazing or anything. Not like, what, caramel? Bitch, please, try caramel. What's that? Oh, what's that? You died because caramel doesn't diffuse across your alveoli into your blood and later across cell membranes to enable your cells to engage in vital functions? Fucking think before you speak.
Caramel.
I have no idea what that's in reference to, but it's hilarious.
Who knows? It's just a random copy pasta that was just really good. 95% of them are about like masturbation and shit, so that gets a little.
Yeah.
Especially when you go blind. So.
Yep.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody have anything they'd like to add?
I don't know. Any breaking news happened? Probably not. Nah. It's all quick.
2 + 2 = 4. Anyways. For @G of the internet, @RandomRedhead, @BookJunkieJaina, @ElGenerico, and @Mark_Noise, I am @ThinkSoJoe. You can follow us @BoardWrestlingFan. That's for Board Wrestling Fan without vowels. Facebook.com/BoardWrestlingFan. Listen to this podcast every Sunday on BoardWrestlingFan.com at 2 p.m. Eastern live, or download us on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Blueberry, BodySlam.net, pretty much anywhere you could get podcasts. And we'll see you next week.
I'm going to go listen to my cassette tapes now.
I use wax cylinders, man.
The next greatest Royal Rumble is called Return of the Jedi.